Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Todd Zwillick here with Sarah Gonzalez today. The Final Four for the NCAA Men's Basketball Championships are all set. UNC is back for a record 20th time. Oregon's in there for the second time, and you have newcomers South Carolina and Gonzaga as well. The fans are rushing to Arizona for the games this weekend, and meanwhile, the ongoing national debate over whether players should be paid in this billion-dollar business continues. Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of the Edge of Sports podcast, and he's taking this a step further. He's pushing for players to strike at the Final Four. Zirin says Wisconsin would have been the most likely team to push for it had they made it to the Final Four. But the strongest argument for player pay can be found when you see who's already being rewarded in the system.
John Wooden, in 1975, the greatest college coach in the world at UCLA, made $35,000. Mike Krzyzewski, the top paid coach today, makes $7.5 million. How has a business changed so much that a $35,000 a year job is now a $7.5 million a year job? And if the situation has changed so much, why is the situation of the athlete not only similar to what it was in 1975, but actually in some respects worse, because the value of a scholarship is actually far less for a big-time college athlete than it was in 1975 because of more games, more travel, more demands on their time.
Now, let's imagine for a second the Final Four comes, everybody's got their brackets, then a protest comes. What would be the fan reaction and the national reaction to this type of situation, do you think?
Profoundly polarized, because when you look at the polls, majority of Black Americans support the idea of NCAA players getting paid, which is not surprising because the optics of NCAA basketball and football are so stark in the idea of who's on the field, who's getting paid, who's not, but also a plurality of white Americans as well. We saw the same thing just recently with Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the anthem, in that he was decried by people across the country, political leaders, yet at the same time, he had the best-selling jersey in the National Football League.
And we should remind ourselves, you mentioned that 82% of the NCAA's budget comes from March Madness, but this is a $1 billion a year operation.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at the full contract, you're into the tens of billions of dollars in terms of what the NCAA receives. I would also point out that this organization, I would call it a cartel, but this organization that controls college athletics operates out of a new $50 million headquarters in Indianapolis. They've got a ton of vice presidents who make six figures. So you are talking about a situation that is like Scrooge McDuck, you know, diving inside the gold coins, and yet the people who are actually paid to see are the ones who are on the outside looking in.
Okay, where does this end, Dave Zirin? It makes some sense for college basketball, college football players who are generating vast amounts of revenue to demand to get paid. But there are college athletes right down the ranks, and I say down, not pejoratively, but maybe in terms of spectators, college lacrosse, college curling, college fencing, tennis players, they get paid as well?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things about collective bargaining. These things would have to be discussed. Like, would there be a stipend? Would playing sports be seen as a work study? But when we're talking about the revenue-producing athletes themselves, the biggest issue is that the money is already there. It's just about who gets it and where the money goes. When we talk about administrators, when you talk about compliance officers to make sure everybody, you know, bows to the whip of these arcane rules, when you talk about salaries, the exploding salaries of the head coaches and assistant coaches in basketball and in football, that's where you start to see where the money actually is, and you start to answer the question of who gets it and who doesn't without hurting those non-revenue sports.
All right, so let's look forward to Final Four weekend before we let you go, Dave Zirin. The chances of a strike happening are probably low, but what kind of attention do you think this ongoing issue, and it is ongoing, gets this time around? Do you expect the public to be any more engaged in the issue of college athletes being exploited and then paid than they have in the past?
It's going to depend on what the players say and do in the lead up to the Final Four. We had a huge discussion about this several years ago when UConn made the Final Four and won the championship, when their star guard, Shabazz Napier, talked about actually being hungry on campus and being unable to get food. You know, that really rocked people and led to a broader discussion. That, unfortunately, is what it takes, the people who have the most to lose and the least power being the ones who are out front speaking out.
Dave Zirin, sports editor at The Nation magazine, host of Edge of Sports. Great to have you as always, Dave.
Thank you so much, Todd.